I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Anita Majumder will be playing at the Push Festival this week, bringing her plays Fish Eyes, Boys with Cars, and Let Me Borrow That Top. It's billed as the Fish Eyes Trilogy, and it'll play at the Kulch. Ms. Majumder joins me now, and I'll get her to tell us about these plays, which she wrote, choreographed, and performs. In the show, she plays three teen girls who grew up in a small town in Canada. The Port Moody, B.C. born and raised dancer, playwright, and actress portrays students of dance, all facing the tumult in a young life, everything from crushes and aspiration, politics and colonialism. The plays are noted for their sharpness and perceptiveness. Fish Eyes plays the 27th and 29th of January, and Boys with Cars and Let Me Borrow That Top play the 28th and the 30th of January. You can see all three on the evening of the 31st of January. Visit pushfestival.ca for tickets and information. Anita Majumder graduated from the National Theatre School of Canada and has appeared in the CBC drama Murder Unveiled and in Deepa Mehta's Midnight's Children, among many other credits. She's the playwright in residence at Night Swimming Theatre. Her website is at anitamajumder.com. Please welcome to the Plata on the Line program, Anita Majumder. Ms. Majumder, good morning.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So these three plays, you've written them. One of them, I understand, Fish Eyes, you've been performing that for about 10 years now. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. And so in putting these three together, as you'll be performing them in Vancouver this week, they all, I guess, they do belong together, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They're sort of interlocked into each other, but you don't need to have seen one to understand the other. It was an important factor for us when we were developing this as a trilogy. What happens is that there's one scene in particular, one dance, that's shared through all three plays. So you see three separate characters at the same high school, often in different time periods, but they all seem to cross over in this one sort of moment in the trilogy.
I see. And so when you wrote these plays, did you think about what you want to say? Do you do that before you come up, say, with a character or even the story?
No, certainly with Fish Eyes. Fish Eyes being, you know, really the first major work, if not first play that I ever wrote. I wasn't thinking that far ahead. I mean, you know, like you said, like, it's been near 10 years. It'll be 11 years actually this month, at the end of this month, that I've been working on Fish Eyes, performing Fish Eyes. I guess with Fish Eyes, it was, you know, I thought of the character. I wasn't thinking, you know, that South Asians everywhere are going to really dig this show, or people would see themselves somehow reflected in the show or their high school growing up experience. It was just, I enjoyed that character's voice. I enjoyed the things she had to say. Writing's kind of strange. I don't know how it is for other forms of writing, but with playwriting, it sometimes feels like I'm cheating. Like I'm cheating on a test, like, because it feels like someone's actually sitting on my shoulder telling me what to write, and I just copy it down. So when people tell me, you know, like, that part's really funny, or I enjoy this play, it's strange for me to take credit for it, because I recognize that I clearly wrote it, but it feels like there's something outside of myself, that I'm just listening to the character's voice and writing down what they say.
How much of that something that's telling you what to write is, say, your own past?
That's a question I get often, in terms of, you know, how autobiographical are these stories? They're not, in the way that these things haven't necessarily happened to me. The overall theme, that sort of feeling of otherness, that feeling of feeling displaced, that sort of vehement anger when I think about colonialism around the world, that's also inherent in these plays. That sort of stuff is, they're things that are important to me. I would say that. So when I do write these characters, certainly I write from that lens, but I don't necessarily write from, oh, I remember when this happened to me and I'm going to write that verbatim.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think every good writer writes what they know, and, you know, emotionally, you, much like acting, you think about, this reminds me of the time when that happened to me in my life, and how did that make me feel? What were those feelings? So the feelings are the muse, but the great thing about writing and the great thing about imagination is that it's just a taking off point. That you then allow your imagination to explore other possibilities, other what-ifs.
These are characters, though, that you understand well, I suppose.
I guess so, and yeah. Maybe it's because I'm a bit eccentric, I'm a bit of a weirdo, so I guess these characters are familiar to me because I feel like a lot of these women, especially the older ones, I've met these women in airports, I've met them in my family, their little eccentricity, that's why I love watching people, I love watching what their habits are, I love watching what they habitually do, what the tendencies are both physically and vocally, and I guess that's what sort of makes me an actor first. I love watching people, and so when I create characters, I guess I think about those things, and I think about, you know, how does this person carry themselves? How do they talk? What kind of things do they like talking about?
In thinking about and reading about, because I haven't seen the three plays, obviously, in reading about them, one gets the sense that it's a personal process in terms of writing and performing these shows. Does it help it in any way clarify one's growing up? I mean, do you understand your past perhaps a little bit better?
Absolutely. I had to ask myself at a certain point, you know, in the middle of this sort of 10-year process, why do I keep writing these stories about high school? Like, what is it about high school that I'm still so attracted to? And I think when I first started writing Fish Eyes, I realized that there was something about my own high school experience that I hadn't reconciled. And it appears, through the popularity of Fish Eyes, that a lot of other people haven't either. I don't think we give enough credit to high school shaping our social selves. We learn so much from high school, and we have beef with you know, what went down in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why all those high school movies like Clueless and, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, that there's a reason they're popular. There's a reason that there's a narrative within them that strikes a chord in us, that there was an inequality, there was injustice that we feel needs to be righted or corrected. And I certainly would say that's true in my case, and I sort of channeled those injustices that I felt in high school and the things that I would want to go back and correct or address for myself within my high school context. I just do it through my plays now.
Yeah, the process of writing, being a playwright, does that how does that affect the work of the actor, and or is it the acting informing, say, the writing more for you?
It's a two-way street. I think it goes in both directions. Certainly, the actor is very helpful in the writing process because it helps me hear the voice. It helps, you know, because I know I'm going to be playing these characters. I'm able to consider what kind of choices I would make as the actor, which then informs, you know, how I write it. The fun that I look forward to as the playwright who will eventually graduate into the actor, and vice versa. You know, as the actor, when I think about, you know, how was this written? What was I thinking when I wrote this? I have a very clear sense of the trajectory in which it was written, which helps me do a lot of that work I would, you know, have to start from scratch doing as an actor in terms of backstory if I was working on a new show that I wasn't, you know, had fresh eyes to. What I would say, though, is I actually think it's harder being the actor and being the playwright in the past tense, because as the actor, there are times where I just want to change the line. If I was doing anyone else's show, if, you know, the playwright was completely different from myself, I would work through it. I would, you know, I do the work as the actor, but I sometimes get a little lazy as the actor, and I want to change the line of the playwright immediately if I can't do it, if I can't get it, instead of just doing the work and like, okay, this, you know, I respect the playwright wrote this, and it's here for a reason, so let's just work with it. I sometimes get a little too quick to want to just change the line so I can act it better, instead of just doing the work of the actor and acting it better.
So, but there, you must learn something, though, every time you perform it. I mean, do you?
For sure. You know, Fish Eyes is the first thing I did as a professional actor. And over the years, I think the show and why it's so dear to my heart, and I think it will be, you know, until I'm, you know, 85, I learned about audiences through the show. I learned so much about the inherent nature of theater, which is what makes theater different from film, is that the show will never be the same. From night to night, it changes because the audience changes. You have a different group of people who, you know, for whatever reason, they're in a great mood, they're in a bad mood, that, you know, their husbands dragged them to see the show, or whatever the context is, everyone's coming in with their own energy, everyone's coming in with their own story, and everyone's coming in with their own set level of understanding. So my job every night, especially as a solo performer, I have to look at this audience and gauge how they need the story told to them tonight. And that's going to be different than the audience I met the night before, the audience I'll meet the night after. It's a process where I've had to be so highly tuned to, oh, I need to slow down here. This isn't quite landing, so I need to find a new tactic. I need to do something else in a way that I ask me to improvise, but still stay within the text. It's a really, really... you know, again, 10 years of doing this for audiences and being sensitive to, it's not the audience's fault they don't understand this. This is all on me. It's my job to tell them the story. So how do I do that in a new way every night?
Yeah, and there must be something in terms of telling a story that the stage provides altogether, not just for you, but for the audience. In terms of how it comes across to the audience, I mean, that's something you can't get from say viewers of film and television.
Certainly, I mean, there's something about the live quality of it as well that it's so present. It's a form that you can't PVR, that you can't rewind things, you can't fast forward because you think this part is boring. You actually have to trust that the creators of this show are walking you through a story and that everything is necessary, and that requires a lot of trust. You have to trust that if you find something boring or if you find something, but it's not quite connecting yet and you don't know why it's being told to you in this way, to trust that the people telling you this story, including the people behind the scenes, not just myself, you know, as a solo performer on stage, but, you know, the lighting designer, the sound designer, the director, the producers, that we all made these choices for a reason, and that all you can do in theater is just be present to the moment.
Well, what do you think these works, these three plays of yours, say about being Canadian?
I think it's just that these plays are Canadian, that these plays are a snapshot of a Canadian experience. Certainly they take place in Port Moody, B.C., where I grew up. But partly why I chose Port Moody is that it could really be any town. It could be any small town in this country. And yes, they're very specific in the way of, you know, that these are, you know, two-thirds of the cast are South Asian, young women who are in some way or form trained in classical Indian dance. But that you can replace Indian dance with anything. You can replace that with karate. You can replace that with, you know, having to go to Chinese school on the weekends. That thing that you thought was uncool, and that feeling of otherness, that feeling of I'm over here and everyone who's normal is over there, that feeling of being the immigrant, I think is classically Canadian. You know, when I was doing PR for Midnight's Children, which premiered at TIFF in 2012, we were often asked, you know, what makes you think Midnight's Children is a Canadian story? Because it was, you know, it was produced in Canada. Yeah. A large amount of Canadian money went to Midnight's Children. And I don't, my answer to that is always, like, I can't think of a movie more or a story more Canadian than Midnight's Children, even though it's set in India. Even though the entire story is in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh, a theme of a displaced family and having to find your own family with people who are not blood relations, but that you make a new home in lands that don't necessarily belong to you by blood or ancestry, I think it's deeply Canadian. That has an experience, no matter what race or color or skin you are, that we understand in this country.
Yeah, I think when I talked to Deepa about Midnight's Children, she used that line, and I forget who says it now, that if you get to the specific, you'll get to the universal.
And yeah, I completely agree.
And I think I think I've read that about your work as well. These three plays that's what you've done, certainly.
Certainly, and it's so true that I think it's actually exactly what you said. We think if we need to make a story universal, we need to make it general. We need to make it vague so it includes everyone. And I don't think we give audiences enough credit for being able to do that work for themselves, for them being able to look at something that's very specific and very steeped in a kind of codification and a kind of language, a kind of, in this case, certainly a physical vocabulary that can feel foreign, but to trust the storytellers enough that they're going to walk you through what that means and give and allow you to have your own personal relationship to that language, to that culture, that it, in a way, becomes your own by the time you finish watching. And that work that an audience does without knowing that they've done it is, I think, how a story becomes universal.
Finally, you'll be in town for the run, obviously. Does Port Moody still feel like home to you?
In a bittersweet way, yes. I still think of my home in Port Moody as home. First 20 years of my life, I didn't know anywhere else that was home. I guess I say that in a bittersweet way because I spent most of my time in Port Moody finding a way out of Port Moody, which is a very, very clear through line in Boys with Cars, the second play of the trilogy, where you have a character who's just trying to get out of Port Moody, like any means out of this town. And in that way, that's familiar to me. And when I visit Port Moody, because my family still lives there, I still have that old high school self returns when I visit. That feeling of, oh God, when do we get to go? And like, hey, why don't we go have dinner downtown Vancouver? Wouldn't that be better than anything here? I think I'm just, there's something that in me that's still the classic teenager. Toronto now is what I call, the home base that I work out of, and feels more comfortably home. But my roots, I would say even my heritage is Port Moody. There's a reason why all my plays thus far have been mention Vancouver, that the central character is from Vancouver. I don't know if I'm ever going to shake that out of my system, the Lower Mainland, in particular the experience of growing up in small-town Port Moody.
It's been a pleasure talking to you today, Anita. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you. so much. Such a pleasure speaking with you.
The website for more, AnitaMajumdar.com, pushfestival.ca for tickets and information on the Fish Eyes Trilogy. It begins the 27th of January straight through to the 31st. It's choreographer, star, and playwright Anita Majumdar joined me on the line from Toronto and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.